You're listening to The Pulse, bringing you all the latest campus news and student discussion.
Good evening and welcome to The Pulse. We open today's show with the sound of protesters at the Women's Reclaim the Campus march.
Not on our campus!
Not on our campus!
The march, led by the UON Feminist Society, was accompanied by a series of demands for the university. We spoke to the FemSoc president, Queenie Jan, about why she felt a march was needed.
It actually started because we had an email from the welfare officer at Jubilee who said that catcalling and problems of sexual harassment kept happening on Jubilee campus. And she was like, I've complained to the uni, I don't feel like the uni's doing enough. Can we do something like a flash mob or a march?
Campaigners in support of the living wage for cleaners have staged a protest today outside the Vice-Chancellor's office. The protest started on Facebook with the hashtag #CleanUpYourAct, and students have come out armed with dustpans and brushes to support the cleaners. The Pulse discussed the campaign with one of the organisers, Andreas Bieler.
It was very encouraging to see how many students actually turned up and showed their support and solidarity with cleaners.
Were you surprised by the reaction of the Vice-Chancellor and that she sent the registrar to come and speak with the protesters rather than coming down herself?
Surprised a bit, disappointed, but at the same time, we hope that she responds positively to the request to spend one morning on a shift with the cleaners.
The Vice-Chancellor is yet to comment, but we were able to speak to the university's registrar about the protest.
You know, this is a really, really important campaign. I understand why people are exercised about it. We are committed to ensuring that our staff are paid fairly and paid properly.
You're listening to The Pulse, bringing you all the latest campus news and student discussion.
Good evening and welcome to The Pulse. We open today's show with the sound of protesters at the Women's Reclaim the Campus march.
Not on our campus!
Not on our campus!
The march, led by the UON Feminist Society, was accompanied by a series of demands for the university. We spoke to the FemSoc president, Queenie Jan, about why she felt a march was needed.
It actually started because we had an email from the welfare officer at Jubilee who said that catcalling and problems of sexual harassment kept happening on Jubilee campus. And she was like, I've complained to the uni, I don't feel like the uni's doing enough. Can we do something like a flash mob or a march?
It's Hate Crime Awareness Week, and here at The Pulse, we are taking your calls. If you have any personal experiences you'd like to share with us, or just want to let us know what you think, text in urn1350.net. Now, on the line, I should have Ibby, who is going to discuss with us some of his personal experiences and his views on hate crime and how hate crime has changed in recent years and in recent months even in the UK.
What was rather frightening was seeing how many people who were kind of noticeably international were being targeted by it, and in the weeks immediately after the vote, I was actually spat at on the bus in the middle of the day because, you know, someone was just basically yelling, go back home.
I mean, that must have felt, in a country where you've lived in the UK for how long, Ibby?
I have been here for 7 years.
7 years, and for that kind of reaction to happen, how did that make you feel?
I'll be very honest, I was actually bracing myself for something like that to happen. For a lot of us who are visibly different, you actually do get targeted a lot more than you would probably expect.
The Pulse investigates cultural appropriation.
I've also been very, very guilty of dressing up as Pocahontas. I've done it probably two or three times in my life. I have a similar skin tone. I have like the same hair color, but I'm nowhere near a Native American heritage.
I'm of the opinion that it's fine to wear whatever you want on Halloween. I mean, does someone else have the right to tell you what to wear?
I'm glad you've brought up Halloween, and that's something that comes up again and again. Is it perhaps, of all the times of the year, to choose Halloween to dress up and take something from a culture that's not your own, is that when it can be most offensive? Or is this an example of people, they're just trying to have fun and we are being oversensitive?
I think a lot of times the people who belong to that culture, the things that people are dressing up as might be of like great importance to them. It has deeper meaning. So then to be walking down the street and see people wearing the native headdress or things that for you have such sacred meaning as like a drunken laugh is a bit more personal, and that's when I think it becomes an issue.
I think it would be really interesting to hear what the students we listened to said about Halloween costumes.
I'd say blacking up is what I would consider very inappropriate. It's obviously currently a large issue of controversy at the moment, but I would certainly support the Bonfire Against Racism Campaign Act, who are essentially saying stop painting faces black.
I suppose anything that breaks the law, anything that is obviously discriminating against a certain race, for example, blackface.
Nah, thanks, Halloween, go wherever you want.
So there we had that final statement from someone we interviewed who said, I think it's Halloween, go as whatever you want. General consensus around the table?
No, because you know, to counteract that, my culture is not a costume.
Today on The Pulse, we discussed the graffiti in Florence Boot Halls that has led to a university investigation on campus. The message reading, Uni Girls Love Rape, was found in the hall's mixed toilets late last night. Joining our panel to discuss the issue and respond to your questions is Campus Life Director Andy Winter. As always, do text in your thoughts and questions to urn1350.net.
It has to be said that the university has made an effort to keep us away from local media groups, and they have encouraged students to not talk to local media groups and report them.
It does almost seem just like they're covering their back, and that's a worrying thing, I think, that they're seeing this more as a PR nightmare than an actual welfare issue.
You can't look at what happened at Florence Boot and say there's no issue here. As I say, the whole purpose of my role is to make sure that incidents like this are exposed and are dealt with properly.
It's Hate Crime Awareness Week, and here at The Pulse, we are taking your calls. If you have any personal experiences you'd like to share with us, or just want to let us know what you think, text in urn1350.net. Now, on the line, I should have Ibi, who is going to discuss with us some of his personal experiences and his views on hate crime and how hate crime has changed in recent years and in recent months even in the UK.
What was rather frightening was seeing how many people who were kind of noticeably international were being targeted by it. And in the weeks immediately after the vote, I was actually spat at on the bus in the middle of the day because, you know, someone was just basically yelling, go back home.
And that must have felt in a country where you've lived in the UK for how long, Ibi?
I have been here for 7 years.
7 years. And for that kind of reaction to happen, how did that make you feel?
I'll be very honest, I was actually bracing myself for something like that to happen. For a lot of us who are visibly different, you actually do get targeted a lot more than you would probably expect.
Students will be banned from refusing speakers a platform at their universities under the first government intervention of free speech on campus for 30 years.
This person has said the UK doesn't actually have freedom of speech.
I challenge that. I think, yeah, we don't have a Bill of Rights like the US does in a codified form. We should look at what it is, and it is protection of freedom of speech.
Today was the first day of industrial action by members of the UCU and UUK unions. Hundreds of lecturers and students abandoned their timetables to protest changes to the pension scheme. The Pulse went down to the picket line to talk to those supporting the strike.
I'm here because I support my lecturers. The fact that they're losing up to £10,000 a year in some cases of their pensions is just ridiculous.
The lecturers have been the bedrock of the university. Without them, the university wouldn't be what it is, and the students wouldn't be receiving the education they are.
Students need to know that the staff want to get back to work and to teach them. We've been trying to negotiate with the management. They're not listening, and unfortunately, it's the only thing we can do in order to make the management start to listen.
On campus
and online,
this is URN. The Pulse.
A group of students have occupied the Trent building in a show of solidarity with their striking lecturers. We've allowed access to the occupation, where we spoke with its leader, Will Sharland.
I think it's just very encouraging anyway that something which began as something quite small has developed into something which has become a lot bigger of a statement than we'd hoped.
The strike may have come to an end, but many students still want compensation for missed classes so close to exam season. Joining the panel today is Nick Heffernan, a lecturer at the University of Nottingham, who participated in the strike action. Nick, you have got 26,000 students signing a petition asking for refunds. Do you think the lecturers owe any sort of apology to students?
I really think that whatever apology students are owed should come from government and management. The solidarity and support that lecturers and other staff had from students was amazing, and we're enormously grateful for that, and we were really inspired by it. Because I think when we went into this dispute, the employers thought that the lecturers were weak, and they thought students were idiots. They thought they could simply tell you, look at these greedy lecturers refusing to teach you because they want more money. But students can see through that, I think.
This is URN.